Good day. We come to you again, and we are starting studies in the Gospel through John. You remember Isaiah 40, verse 9 says, "Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God." I shall not go over some of the material you've been talking about by way of introduction to this Gospel, except to point out to you, for those of you who have not been listening in, that in the Gospel through John, the great question is raised, is this Jesus of Nazareth God manifest in the flesh? And the whole Gospel through John proves this fact. In fact, in chapter 1, verse 4, in him is life, and the life was the light of men, and so on. In John chapter 20, verse 31, these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and by believing you might have life in his name. And I was quite struck in reading this Gospel through John, how often our Lord is called Jesus. In fact, nearly 250 times the word Jesus is used in this Gospel, which has to do with his deity. Behold your God. Rather significant to me that the Holy Spirit, through John, uses the word Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth, as the one who is the revealer of God to men. God manifest in the flesh. And so we come to this Gospel, and we're going to come to the first chapter, which gives to us the introduction. In our last lesson, we were taking up, each chapter had a special word concerning our Savior. You remember it in John chapter 1, he's the Word. In 2, he's the Creator. In 3, he's the Savior, and so on. Now, if you have your Bibles, will you please turn with me to the first chapter of the Gospel through John. And I would like to read at least the first few verses. And I'm going to take the time to read the first 14 verses of John chapter 1. And here we have the incarnate Son of God, the revelation of Jesus Christ, the living Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The darkness, as someone has written, the darkness could not put it out. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man who cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, or the children of God, even to them that believe on his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. Now, I'd like, first of all, in this introduction to John, to take up these verses, verse by verse, and to see something of the marvel of the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ to men and women. Will you please notice in these first 14 verses, we have the revelation that God has given to us concerning his Son. In the first two verses, you have his pre-incarnation. His pre-incarnation. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. In the beginning was the Word. This speaks of expression. You remember in Colossians chapter 2, verse 3, we read that God has hidden in Christ all his treasures of wisdom and of knowledge. He's the Word. That's the expression of God. And the Word was with God. And here you have personal distinction. The Word was with God. You remember in Proverbs chapter 8, verses 22 to 30, where we have wisdom personified, where we read, I was with him when he made the worlds. I was his daily delight, one brought up with him. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 6, you remember, where we speak of the fact, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not a thing to be grasped after or held on to, but made himself of no reputation. He emptied himself. He took his place in the human race. In Zechariah chapter 13, it speaks of the fact about the one who is God's fellow. Behold, the man who is God's fellow, God's equal. In John 17, verse 5, our Lord could say, Father, glorify thou me with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Do you remember in Genesis chapter 3, or you take even Genesis chapter 1, let us make man in our own image and in our likeness. And in chapter 3 it says, behold, man is become as one of us. Or you have it in chapter 11 of Genesis, let us go down and confound their language. What I'm trying to get to your heart is personal distinction. The Lord Jesus Christ, way back in eternity, I was with him when he made the worlds. He was God's fellow. Now, I know we're getting into some deep waters concerning the Godhead, but I'm just declaring to you what the Scriptures declare. In fact, all we know of God is what he reveals to us. And as we come to the Word of God, we've got to come to that place where we realize that all we know of God is what he reveals. And the Lord Jesus Christ came expressly for the revelation of God the Father to men. You remember when you come to John 14, when the disciples said, show us the Father, and that's enough. And I expect that, I believe that possibly Philip, when he asked the question, expected to see somebody beside Jesus. And the Lord's answer was, have I been so long time with you, Philip, and don't you know me? Don't you know me? He that has seen me has seen the Father. The works that I do are not mine, are my Father's. The words I speak are my Father's words. Believe me, I am in my Father, and my Father is in me, or else believe me for my very work's sake. I'm quoting John chapter 14. I want you to get this into your heart. Personal distinction. The Word was with God. Then I read, and the Word was God. And this speaks of our Lord and his nature. He was God. Do you remember Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, where we read is the express image of his person and the forth shining of his substance. He was God. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 19, do you remember it was pleasing to him, or to the Godhead in him, all fullness to dwell. And in chapter 2 of Colossians, verse 9, in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are filled full in him. What I'm trying to get to your heart, he was God. Let me just take this passage, for example. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. Verse 18, no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. He hath shown him forth. You see, friend, in the very beginning of the gospel, you must expect to see the fact that Jesus Christ is not just a man in the midst of men. He was that. But he was also God manifest in the flesh. Now in verse 3, we have him as the Creator. All things were made by him. By who? By the one who was the Word, who was made flesh. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. All things were made by him. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, verse 9, allow me to read this. Paul writes, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Look at Colossians. Allow me to read Colossians, verses 15 and 16. Speaking of Jesus Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him, by Jesus Christ, were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things. And by him all things are held together. By him all things are held together. You have the same thing in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2. You remember, who being the, speaking of our Lord, who was the heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of God. He not only created all things, but he upholds all things. Same thing in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. We understand by faith that the worlds were framed by the word of his mouth, so that things which do appear were not made of things. He was made out of nothing. He just said, light be, and light was. You read that first and second chapter of Genesis. And our Lord is looked upon as the Creator. In chapter 4 of Revelation, in verse 11, he is worshipped as the Creator of all things. You take in chapter 1 verse of John, verse 10, he was in the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. You see, friend, he's not only the Creator in Revelation chapter 4, but in chapter 5 he's also worshipped as the Redeemer. He's the one who made all things. Who? Jesus. The Word was in the world. The world was made by him. The world didn't even know him. This one who was in eternity past, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, way, way back in eternity. Before there ever was a world, before there ever was a creation, Jesus was there. And then when we come to verse 3, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He's not only the pre-incarnate Word of God, but he's the Creator. And then when we come to verses 4 and 5, we have the one who was both life and life. And here you have one of the key verses of John's Gospel. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. In him was life. You see, friend, the world was in spiritual and moral darkness. You remember Romans chapter 8 says, the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. In Job 14:4 he says, can you bring a clean thing out of an unclean? In Romans 3:10-12 it says, there's none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They've all gone out of the way. They have together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. In Ephesians 2:1 it says, we were dead in trespasses and sins. in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the 4th verse, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of those who believe not. And when you come to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, we see the enemies of God's people are the rulers of this darkness. What I'm trying to get to you in this passage, the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness couldn't put it out. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness couldn't put it out. You see, friend, Christ is the source of all life. And wherever there is any light, moral light or spiritual light, it must come from him. Because man is in such moral darkness, intense darkness, dead in trespasses and sins, and the God of this world has blinded his minds, unless God would send his Son, the light of the world, into this world, men would die in darkness, impenetrable darkness. I tell you, friend, the world is in such moral and spiritual darkness that unless God comes into the scene, there'll be no light. So I read here, even though man was in such terrible darkness, the darkness couldn't put it out. The light is still going to shine, and down through the centuries, there has been light. And any spiritual or moral light that has been manifested down through the centuries since man sinned in the garden, what any light that has been there, it comes from Christ. For in him is life, and the life was the light of men. And when you come to John chapter 8, he could say, I am the light of the world. You remember in John, 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, this is the message which we declare unto you, that God is light. And in John, this is the theme, that Christ is both life and light. And man knows nothing of spiritual life, moral life, apart from that which God has given to him. And this light is found in Jesus Christ. And the trouble is that man couldn't comprehend it. Man never did understand it. Man never did understand God, except as God revealed it to him. And may I say very bluntly today, even today in the 20th century, man has no light, no spiritual life, no spiritual light apart from Jesus Christ. Men are groping in darkness of all the isms and doctrines and religions in the world today. In fact, man today is giving himself over to the doctrine of demons, as you find in 1 Timothy chapter 4. When men turn their backs on God, man's going to be given over to deceiving spirits, to the doctrines of demons. They're going to be deceived. As 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of those who believe not, lest the glorious light of the gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. What I'm trying to get to your heart, my friend, and to your mind is this. Man is in such moral and spiritual darkness that if God doesn't come on the scene, man will die in his darkness. I repeat it, the difference between life and death is Christ, and the difference between light and darkness is Christ. As the book of Colossians 1, verse 13 says, that God has translated us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of his love. There are just two kingdoms in the world today, the kingdom of light, where Christ is the center, the kingdom of darkness, where the adversary, Satan, is the center. And friend, I say very bluntly, you are either in the kingdom of light or you are in the kingdom of darkness. And the only way you'll ever get translated out of the kingdom of darkness is to come into right relationship with Jesus Christ, God's Son. For in him is life, and the life was the light of men. And any light that man has concerning God comes through Jesus Christ, for he is the image of the invisible God. And I tell you, my friend, in Christ you have life, and not to have Christ means not to have life. I say this to you today because I am fully persuaded that so many are in darkness. And as we read this gospel through John, and I plead with your heart, even if you do not believe in Christ, read the gospel through John with an open mind. And if you mean business, ask God to reveal himself to you as you read this gospel. And I'm sure that God means business, and God is willing to reveal himself to you if you will have an open heart and read this gospel through John and look and read it to see him. And the Lord bless you.